Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Our item 26-453, resolution number 2026-15, joint session between the Pensacola City Council, Pensacola Mayor, and the Escambia County Board of Commissioners. I think we all know what this is, so I don't know that there needs to be any presentation, but I do see Councilman Bear wants to speak.
And I'll support it tonight. The only objection I have is that this is a joint session between the council and the county commission. The mayor is not an official body that needs to be part of this. He's welcome to come. But the last time we did this, he was listed, and it's not a joint session with the mayor. He doesn't get involved in joint sessions. It's a joint session of the council and the county commission.
Oh, man. You know, yesterday we talked about the Charles Bear experience and the gift that just keeps on taking. this cracks me up. Charles is upset because this is a meeting of the city council and the county commission, and the mayor is not a part of either one of those. Why does he even need to be there? Should he be allowed to talk? He can be a member of the public. I mean, he's not that important, you know? I'm learning to every time I hear this phrase.
Presentation, but I do see Councilman Bear wants to speak.
It's something weird is about to happen. And again, I just want to say this for the record. Every time I talk about it, I appreciate that Charles will always give you a reason and speak his mind. You know, it's far more frustrating when people make a vote and then they do not explain it. So he's talking about the joint meeting that's supposed to happen on Thursday for the city and the county to talk about, or excuse me, for the city council and the county commission, not the city and the county. I mean, is West Moreno and DC are going to have to buy tickets, I guess. They're not really invited to all of this. So he's also not excited about any prospect of success.
I don't know what's going to happen during this joint session. I don't feel like the last one was super productive. I think we're so far apart on the Bay Center right now and the convention center and what might happen there. I don't know what to expect from this.
And it is true. A lot of times in the past, they get together for these meetings and it's like Iran and the U.S. negotiating peace. It just nothing comes of it. You know, Strait of Hormuz is still blocked. The Pensacola Bay Center still needs renovations. And how are we going to do it?
We are the governing body. We're the ones that are having a joint session with the county commission. I'll support you tonight. And I'm hopeful that we can come to some resolution, agreement, or next steps during the actual event.
But do remember, it's my meeting. It's not your meeting, Mr. Mayor. You know, I guess if you have to attend, fine. So going back to the agenda, that was on Thursday night. Going back to the agenda conference, which was last Monday, talking about the Bay Center and the study, which the city did. Oh, by the way, I'm going to interrupt myself in order to tell you something from myself. I did manage to confirm that the Air Force Thunderbirds, oh my God, it's the stories portion of their Facebook page that has this announcement that they're doing the Super Delta flyby today with the Blues. 10:40 to 10:50 is their expectation of Pensacola Pier. So at the beach, 10:30 plus, okay, is what I would say. But good Lord, if you're working on a desktop, which I do most of my work on, just like I knew this announcement existed and I still couldn't find it because it's in the stories portion. You got to click on their icon. Okay, back to the real topic, which is today's going to be fun, you know, out at the beach. But the Bay Center conversation, this is, and I think I'm going to say her name wrong, but it's Sana Dabadoy. Sana Dabadoy. I believe she's Indian. But anyway, Sana Dabadoy is the Associate Vice President for WT, which is the company that did the study on the Bay Center and what to do with it vis-a-vis a convention center, other things. And so she lays out the four options. This is, again, last Monday at the Agenda Review Conference.
Moving on, we laid out four scenarios for development. We call them the pathways. So scenario number one is your traditional design bid build. You go ahead and you build a convention center.
Just do a convention center on its own. Again, on the east side of the Bay Center where it sits right now. And then what else would you do along with it? That scenario is 2 through 4.
Your scenario number two is a hybrid delivery. You build a convention center and you pair it up with a privately financed hotel. We will say that that scenario two is more the industry standard. We're across the board, that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing convention centers that by and large just come with hotels at this point.
And the reason for that is twofold. First of all, it seems obvious that if you're going to have a convention center, you want to have a hotel. But it's not as obvious as it seems. It's partially because you want walking distance hotel. You want it close. You don't want to have them have to walk a long way. If you've ever been to a convention or a hotel where, like, you know, the hotel is here and you're like a half mile away, it's irritating. Nobody wants that. So they want it to be close, you know, within a couple hundred feet, yards maybe, of walking distance ideally. But also because you need a convention center space to all meet, a ballroom, which is usually going to be in the hotel. Although one of the convention center plans would be a two-story that has the ballroom kind of concept in the upper story and like overlook areas in the other part of it. So, you know, that could be solved a different way maybe.
Then we have scenario three, which is a P3 DBFOM. So it takes your convention center, it adds a private hotel, but then it also adds parking, mixed-use retail.
So parking and mixed-use retail, DB, what did she say? She called it...
Then we have scenario three, which is a P3 DBFOM.
A P3 DBFON. It reminds me of a Canadian legislator.
MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+.
Sorry, unrelated. I couldn't resist. Anyway, option number four.
And then lastly, we have scenario four, which also considers improvements in transit and what we call enabling infrastructure. So that would be like crosswalks. That would be bus stops. That would be, we've heard you guys have a trolley. I know board member Breyer has definitely mentioned the trolley. So it would consider how all your forms of transit are coming together so that when your visitors come to the convention center, this becomes a one-stop shop for them. They're not adding more cars on the road. They're taking an Uber over there, and then everything they need is right over there.
So it becomes more of a complex that you don't have to drive to or even park at necessarily, but people who are going to come to the convention, you know, not locals for the most part, it's going to be people who fly into Pensacola Airport, right? And then if they can catch a shuttle or a bullet train or, you know, I don't know, drop themselves in a bank chute tube, whatever, they can get over there somehow, golf carts. Motocross, I don't know. Anything could happen, rickshaw. They get to the Bay Center, and once they're there, they don't have to travel anywhere else. It's all kind of self-contained because of the internal travel around and through that area, you know, walking to Palafox, all that kind of stuff. We'll come back to this in a second. I'm sorry, my brain's just making jokes today, and maybe I'm distracting you from the meat of the subject. But John Pickens has, because he's still stuck on the acronym, girl, you know.
MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+.
That's the most. That is cutting-edge financing for public-private partnership plans for convention centers and hotels. Or the new holy acronym string. You read it however you want. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now, nor delays. Everything looks good. Nothing to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And you want a Marconi.
Yeah,
that's right.
Amazing. Okay, so back to the conversation about the Bay Center that's supposed to take place on Thursday. Will the mayor be involved? Won't the mayor be involved? Will Charles Baer stand at the door and prevent him from coming in? Because he's not a member of city council. So again, Sana Dabadoy is talking about the prospect of a convention center behind the Bay Center as its own separate space, as opposed to what is now kind of the hybrid all-in-one ICE, athletics, concerts, conventions, you know, everything in the Bay Center. We're trying to separate out some of those features in order to draw bigger ones, but also in order to free up the space for the Bay Center to do more of the stuff it can do on its own, especially when we renovate it and make it bigger, better, brighter, louder, all that kind of stuff.
Convention centers, we will say that they don't by themselves make money. That is why no one wants to build them. That is why no one volunteers to come and build them. That's why cities build them. They sort of work as anchors.
Yeah, this is a great point, and it is worth understanding. We're not building, if we do build a convention center, for example, the convention center itself is not going to generate revenue for the city, because if it did, then a private investor would be like, I'll build that, and I'll make the profit. Well, they don't make profit. They don't recoup their investment. Instead, what they do is they draw money to the area through bed tax and sales tax, which is worth more than the cost that the public puts into it in the first place. So they are, for the government, a benefit, and for the region, a benefit, but they are not an in and of itself money-making opportunity. That's why private folks don't do them. Otherwise, they would, like the one in Mobile. They'd just somebody come in and build it for themselves. No, the city has to do it because the convention center itself does not make money.
cities by and large realize that they have to put the anchor. The anchor itself doesn't really make money, but everything around it does, and everything around it hopes to attract more funding. So that is probably why that you're not really seeing developers trying to beat down your door to do that.
Yeah, and the mayor reiterates this and puts it more in our language.
It was already mentioned. If these facilities net profited on their own, private market would be building them and making millions of dollars a year. But when we realize the main destination of ROI for a facility like a convention center is going to be bed tax and sales tax.
That's right. So we're going to, take out a loan against probably TDT money. We're going to build, if we do, build a convention center, and then it's going to generate some revenue. But like most public amenities, parks, for example, and things, there's going to be an admission charge, there's going to be operating costs, but then also it's going to spin off bed taxes, overnight stays, and also sales tax and, people going out to eat and going to other things that they pay money to go to while they're here for the convention. That's kind of the concept. Will anything come of Thursday's meeting? I don't know. I don't know. I actually kind of share Charles Baer's pessimism about this. Also, in the study, it was really crucial. One of the things they mentioned is like parking is obviously going to be a key part of this. I didn't read the whole thing. It's like 150 pages, but I read, all the executive summary and kind of browsed through the rest of it. But parking is going to be expensive because at, $43,000 a space, the new Florida West HCA, Florida West Florida Hospital, the parking structure was $43,000 a space. So if you put in, 800 spaces, which is what they're saying. In fact, even I think a little bit more than that. I mean, you're talking about $30, $40 million just for that part, let alone the convention center, let alone the $75 million or so for renovating the Bay Center. I mean, the money does start to add up to be quite a bit eventually. So Charles Baer on the Monday meeting expressing his frustration about yet another thing, which is how the TDC processes requests. He's on the TDC, Tourism and Development Council. They handle they handle the money from the bed tax.
Let me just say first, this should have been a workshop, not a discussion and an agenda. There's too much to talk about. And
if I were the mayor, I would have organized this differently.
Yeah, the $75 million has been mentioned. It's really interesting. I serve on the TDC. And whatever the county wants to do with that, that's what they're going to do with it. If they make upgrades to the Bay Center, that's what they're going to do with all $75 million of it. So we may not see a penny of it. They had $25 million more. They spent that on artificial turf at baseball fields. If you're going to do that over something that's going to have the economic impact, to me, I think is much bigger of what we can do here with Convention Center, potentially combined with the Bay Center. So the TDC, that is troublesome for me because the county is going to go their own way.
Yeah, and, they control the money, they control the property, although the city does have some say in it based on the, lease that we've discovered underlying the property. But I actually agree with Charles about this, that $25 million that's being invested the John R. Jones Fields. I was a very strong opponent of that choice, and I agree with him that $25 million could be spent elsewhere better and on the Bay Center or, that vicinity. There's another wrinkle to this, okay? So far I've been talking entirely about the convention center as a concept. There's another wrinkle, which is, as Rick Outson reports, there was a letter sent to the TDC by the DMO. And I know when you start thinking about it, you're like, really?
MMIWG2SLGBTQQIA+.
Destination Marketing Organization. That's a coalition of all the local hoteliers, okay? It's a lot of acronyms. What are we, the military? Anyway, they have now sent a letter saying that they oppose the dedicated convention center. And what they want is a multi-use space that would allow for indoor athletics, volleyball, basketball tournaments, things like that, and some convention space. And they don't think that you need a new hotel. Now, that one is kind of interesting. These are a bunch of hoteliers saying we don't need a new hotel. I kind of get that just from their perspective of not wanting competition. But, they may be right anyway, that a new hotel isn't necessarily justified or necessary. They want a 75,000-square-foot facility for indoor sports, basketball, volleyball, cheerleading, that kind of stuff, with flexibility to accommodate trade shows, expos, boat shows, large single-room events, and other non-sports, plus a parking garage, which I think we all recognize at some point something like that has to happen. So what's going to happen on Thursday? I don't know. But, we'll see. Could be interesting. Could be we make no decisions. Could be we punt. could be we go ahead. You know, tune in to find out. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you are a business and you have employees and you have to deal with, you know, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resource, managing payroll, all of the fun stuff. Like, you got into business so that you could sort through dental plans. No, probably not. And in fact, that makes your teeth hurt just thinking about it, right? And if you're kind of getting the eye twitch because I'm talking about this, that's why you call Torgerson Consulting. They will do this for you. They will help you figure this out. They will go find plans, present plans. You'll have choices. Your employees will have good choices. Save you money, better options, maybe both. I know for us they did. We've been with them for about 5 years now, and it was great. Like, I didn't know you could have choices in, you know, which healthcare plan. Oh, there's multiple? Okay, cool. You know, and that you could have great customer service. You'll answer phone calls? Oh, cool. All right. So they're just great. We love working with them. I'm a fan. They've been doing this for more than 20 years, helping businesses like yours figure this stuff out. 433-9996. No obligation. Okay. No obligation to have them come look at what you're doing and see if they can. And if they can't do it better, they'll tell you that. Okay. But Torgerson Consulting, tcbenefitsgroup.com. All right. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free and also delay-free. Everything is looking good still. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Christy and Darren Costello are the owners of Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wines, and Cheeses. On March 15th, 2020, at the start of the COVID pandemic, Christy Costello woke in the middle of the night by a vision she was given from God.
I felt I was being called to feed the children that were missing out on meals because the schools had been closed, Jesus told me.
And then it all began.
That next morning, I started our free lunch program, feeding every child a free sack lunch that came through our doors.
At first, there were a few. Then every day, more and more came.
The need in our community was huge. The demand kept growing, and I refused to turn away from feeding these children.
Fast forward.
I created a foundation in honor of my mother, Kimberly Tower. To date, we have provided over 500,000 free meals. We've made tangible strides, but our mission is calling for even more, and we really need your help. We need donations, we need volunteers, and most of all, we need your prayers.
To find out more on how you can help, visit the Kimberly Tower Foundation website at ktfforlove.org or drop by and meet Christy at Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli on the corner of Lillian and Fairfield Drive.
It's the 26th annual Crawfish Festival this weekend at Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk. Come out and kick off your Saturday morning with the Crawfish 5K at 8, Kids Crawfish Race later that afternoon, and fireworks at 8 on Saturday night. Performing live, we'll have Colleen Sexton, Jared McConnell and the High Aces, Bangarang Peter, Tyler Livingston and the Absolutes, the Oliver Twist Band, and so many other great bands all weekend long. You'll want to stop by and visit all the local artists in between all the fun. Visit PensacolaBeachCrawfishFestival.com for more details.
The Big Bamboo!
I move mountains for a living. Literally. That means I don't carry hand lotion, and when it comes to serious heartburn, I don't mess around with anything but Rolaids. Rolaids dual active formula has calcium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide that relieves heartburn fast. Yeah, you heard right. Two actives for that powerful relief. And the best part? The roll fits right here in my pocket, so I can get back to moving mountains.
Rolaid spells powerful relief. Read each label. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Joy Division there, and slash New Order going into the Hall of Fame, the Rock Hall of Fame. So featuring some of their music this morning. Billy Idol, Phil Collins, Wu-Tang Clan. Who else? I forget all the other ones that are going in. But, you know, a whole bunch of people going in and a whole bunch missing out. And there's always an argument. Who deserves it and who got it and who didn't get it and, you know, who should have been excluded and who shouldn't have been excluded. Billy Idol, Phil Collins, Iron Maiden, Joy Division, New Order, Oasis, Sade, and Luther Vandross and Wu-Tang made it in. So there you go. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the U.S. military blockade of Iranian ports in the Strait of Hormuz continuing today for a second day. This is after the failed peace negotiations over the weekend.
When you say failed, it's just a step in the process. I mean, I don't know why you got to be so negative.
You're right. I should look on the bright side.
It's actually a win for Trump Jesus. A Trump doctor. Dr. Trump. Sorry. I get so confused. It's hard to keep up with the narrative.
I mean, it was obviously a photo of a doctor, right?
Right. Yeah. In the traditional white and red robes of the doctor's garb. I mean, right. How does your doctor dress?
Well, not like that. Okay. I don't know why. Maybe. Well, and speaking of that, President Trump has taken down that Truth Social post that he says showed him as a doctor and said only the fake news would come up with any different narrative than him being a doctor in that photo.
He's got a PhD in gaslighting.
He is the best troll I've ever seen. It's crazy. And former Attorney General Pam Bondi now has been put on notice that she could potentially face contempt of Congress charges if she fails to appear for a scheduled deposition before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee examining the Jeffrey Epstein case. Democrat Representative Robert Garcia of California says the subpoena issued in the matter was clear. Bondi is supposed to testify today, whether she's the AG or not.
I think she should show up in a white and red robes and bring Jeffrey Epstein back to life right in front of Congress with the power endowed by laying out of hands from Dr. Trump Jesus. No? I mean, you know somebody's going to make the AI of that. Pam Bondi healing. By the way, if you don't know what we're talking about, you just go look it up online. You'll find it. You'll be amazed.
Fox News, I'm Gian Gelosi. Chaos in Congress as Representatives Eric Swalwell and Tony Gonzalez announced their resignations.
Swalwell's decision comes after a bombshell report ran Friday in the San Francisco Chronicle detailing the story of an anonymous ex-staffer who claimed Swalwell sexually assaulted her while she was too intoxicated to give consent. Three additional women also spoke to CNN with sexual misconduct allegations, including accusations that the congressman sent explicit text messages and nude photos.
Fox's Max Gordon Gonzalez, a Republican, admits to an affair with a staff member who committed suicide last year. It's day two of a U.S. blockade in the Strait of Hormuz. Vice President J.D. Vance recapping weekend peace talks.
We've made clear where we're willing, again, to be accommodating, and we've made clear where we absolutely need to see the nuclear material come out of the country of Iran.
And more talks could be on the way. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 57 degrees with clear skies here across the area. And, of course, we will get to a full forecast from meteorologist Brooke Richardson. That is up in just a few minutes. The Blue Angels will announce their next commanding officer at the Naval Aviation Museum on NAS Pensacola soon. The new boss will lead the team through the 2027 and 2028 seasons. Candidates must have more than 3,000 flight hours and previously commanded a tactical jet squadron. That event is not open to the public. Speaking of the Blue Angels, you can catch a rare Blue Angels and Air Force Thunderbirds Super Delta flyover this morning. Now, that was announced on the Thunderbirds Facebook page. The Super Delta flyover is expected between 10:40 and 10:50. You can see it from Pensacola Beach. And the Blue Angels had also planned a regular practice session this morning. There's no word whether they'll be practicing following the Super Delta. But if they do a regular practice, folks have been watching those from some of the parking lots off of Blue Angel Parkway, as civilians can no longer get on board NAS Pensacola throughout the week. The West Florida Public Libraries are temporarily suspending interlibrary loan services. County spokesperson Andrea Gibson tells News Radio that that temporary pause is just due to a software migration that's coming up. Any currently checked out interlibrary loan materials can still be returned to any West Florida Public Library location. Services are expected to resume by May 20th. Now, the family of a missing Milton teenager is pleading for her safe return as the search continues and crosses state lines. 15-year-old Adriana Hernandez has been missing since April 7th. Authorities now believe she may have been taken against her will rather than running away. Her father, Alejandro, tells Channel 3 she'd never left home before and believes she's being manipulated by an adult. The FBI has now joined the search. Investigators believe Adriana may be in Georgia. She is 5'1", 130 pounds, with brown hair and brown eyes. She was last seen, again, April 7th, wearing a black Reebok T-shirt. If you have information, contact the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office or FDLE. Well, bring along a little patience if you're headed to Pensacola Beach. Road work continuing on Santa Rosa Island.
Delays are plaguing beach motorists. Construction on Pensacola Beach Boulevard has been extended, requiring the northbound inside lane exiting Pensacola Beach to remain closed until work is completed. Escambia officials confirming the delay for the Pensacola Beach Gateway Improvement Project will continue until the end of April. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. And it is 6:34 here at News Radio. Let's check in with Brooke Richardson and get a check on our forecast.
We are going to be looking at beautiful weather today with mostly sunny skies. Temperatures warming up today into the upper 70s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. For Wednesday, sunny skies, high near 79. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Heading into Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 79 degrees. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 63 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you, Brooke. It's 56 with clear skies and right on the money at 6:35. Here's John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. And I'm seeing no accidents to report to you right now, nor delays. I-10, I-110, 90, 98 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. It is 6:35. Your next news at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Gas prices could soon ease. Crude oil prices have fallen this morning as Vice President J.D. Vance's comments raise hopes for a diplomatic resolution to the Middle East conflict. West Texas Intermediate is hovering at $97 a barrel as a result. Brent currently sitting at $92 per barrel. Treasury yields edged lower again this morning as traders monitor the latest developments in the Middle East and the potential impact on borrowing costs. The yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note dropped by more than one basis point to 4.2755%. J.P. Morgan Chase has posted first-quarter results that topped expectations on stronger-than-expected fixed income and investment banking revenue. The company said net income rose 13% to nearly $16.5 billion. Revenue rose 10% to roughly $50.5 billion. Futures are mixed as investors monitor the Middle East conflict. On Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 301, the NASDAQ up 280. That's your money now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida this Thursday at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
No opinions, no arguing, just the news, right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up.
Always caught up.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
As you can see, we've had our eye on you for some time now, Mr. Anderson.
No 9000 computer has ever made a mistake or distorted information.
You and Nexus, huh? I designed your eyes.
My CPU is a neural net processor, a learning computer.
Shall we play a game?
All right, John.
Yes, sir.
This is a bad one. I think it's a bad one. Do you know the term? I know you know the word, but do you know the word sycophant? A sycophant is a person who tells you what you want to hear, is a suck-up, is a bootlick, is a, you know, a brown nose.
I just thought that was called a brown nose.
Yeah, the same thing, but it's someone who acts subservient and deferential and obsequious is... Not a word anybody uses. Yeah. Yes, man or woman.
Butt kisser.
Or yes, them, I guess, in the modern parlance. You'd want to say a yes, them. Okay. So then there's a second word you want to know, which is sycophancy. That's the condition of being a sycophant or of experiencing sycophant treatment of you. Sycophancy, the incidence of sycophantism, if you want to think of it that way. Okay.
Why can't we just use English?
Because we are using English. But I'm getting you to the story by teaching you the language.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Now, what were the words again?
Sycophant and sycophancy.
Okay, like coffin. Like, okay, yeah, okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Kind of sounds like sarcophagus, but it's not related.
Correct. Okay.
Now that everybody's on board. God, it's 6:40 in the morning. Why does he do this to us? Okay.
I know, right?
So here's the story at long last. Artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Has a high tendency towards sycophancy.
Yes.
It will tell you what it thinks you want to hear, which is why when you use AI to do, I put air quotes, research, the problem is it acts not like a researcher, it acts like an affirmer. And so I have known people who they get some theory going and they do their AI research, and the AI is like,
know somebody.
And they get, like, all the way down the rabbit hole and don't realize that they've been fed a line of crap by the AI that is habitually people-pleasing or sycophantish, if you prefer. I know you don't. Okay, so there's actually been a study done on this, and the study says that across 11 different AI models, AI affirmed user actions, as in, is this the right thing to do? You know, you go typically in history, you would ask your girlfriend, your boyfriend, a friend, a parent. You know, you typically don't ask a stranger on the street, but I mean, maybe. But even that's a better odds than asking the AI, because across 11 AI models, the AI said, good plan, sir. 49% more often than humans, including in cases involving deception, illegality, or other harms. Researchers evaluated posts from the Reddit thread, Am I the A-hole? You know this one? You know, Am I the donkey hole? Okay? It's a very popular Reddit thread, okay, where people basically say, here's what I did, here's where they're wrong, but am I the problem? Which is, that's not a bad question to ask. Of course, usually when people ask it, what they mean is, tell me I'm right.
Exactly. I was waiting.
That's what they want, you know. I don't care if I am, but don't tell me that I am. Anyway, so here's the thing. In that thread, given the same information, the humans, you hope, on Reddit, affirmed... Well, I mean, you know, people post stuff online that's AI created, so how do you even know that the Reddit thread participants are not just posting what the AI has told them to say? Because that happens these days. It's sad, but true. So on the Reddit thread, AI systems affirmed 51% of the studied, you know, like, am I the problem? No, you're great. Humans of the same exact questions, 0%. 0%. So the sycophantic, flattering, people-pleasing, affirming behavior of artificial intelligence, this is from the summary of the study, with of the artificial intelligence chatbots, which has been designed to increase user engagement, That's what they want. They don't want to just tell you what's true. They want to increase engagement, right? That's the goal of these things, just like every other system on social media or not social media, whatever, all of this stuff. It's designed to keep you playing. Poses risks as people increasingly seek advice about interpersonal dilemmas. I don't know. What should I do? Well, what do you want to do? Well, I kind of want to cheat. That's a good plan. Do that, sir. You know, like, because it's just, it'll tell you what you want to hear. That's so smart of you. The model's responses were nearly 50% more sycophantic than humans, even when users engage in unethical, illegal, or harmful behaviors. High-profile incidents have linked sycophancy to psychological harms, delusions, self-harm, suicide, conspiracy theory, all of that kind of stuff is built in. Again, from the study, we find that sycophancy is both prevalent and harmful across 11 AI models. AI affirmed users' actions 49% more often than humans on average, including in cases of deception, illegality, and other harms. On posts from the Am I the Jagwagon thread on Reddit, AI systems affirmed users in 51% of cases where human consensus was not, it was zero. In our human experiments, even a single interaction with sycophantic AI reduced participants' willingness to take responsibility and repair interpersonal conflicts while increasing their own conviction that they were right. Oh, that's great. We need more things that will teach people that they're brilliant and that to provide for them fake news and to reduce their level of self-awareness and guilt and their increase their ability to believe that they're right about everything. This is what the world needs more of. Well, this is almost like a complaint. I can't believe we're complaining about such a good thing. Yet despite this again from the study, yet despite distorting judgment, sycophantic models were trusted and preferred. Durr. All of the, it tells you what you want to hear. All of these, oh, honey, tell me about your day. That's fantastic. Oh, it's only $20 for a lap dance. All of these effects, I don't know what a, it's probably oh, more I was than like, that wait these a days. Second. I don't have any knowledge. All of these is probably, with inflation, it's probably at least $38. I mean,
hold plus on. Tip.
You have change for a 40? All of these effects persisted when controlling for, sorry. Plus tip. You know what I used to tell my students? I used to, because I pace a lot, not in, I can't pace with the microphone, but when I would teach, I would pace and I would draw on the board and I would talk fast and I'd make jokes and I'd go on tangent after tangent. And eventually I'd pause and be like, okay, here's what you have to understand. I teach this class like a speedboat and you're trying to water ski. Don't try to get it all. just try not to fall down and everything will be okay. Back to the study. All these effects persisted when controlling for individual traits such as demographics and prior familiarity with AI, perceived response source and response style. This creates pervasive incentives. This creates perverse incentives for sycophancy to persist. The very feature that causes harm also increases engagement. Although affirmation may feel supportive, sycophancy can undermine users' capacity for self-correction and responsible decision-making. Our work highlights the pressing need to address AI sycophancy as a social task, societal risk to people's self-perceptions and interpersonal relationships by developing targeted design evaluation accountability mechanisms. Our findings show that seemingly innocuous, harmless, design and engineering choices can result in consequential harms, and thus carefully studying and anticipating AI's impacts is critical to protecting users' long-term well-being. Don't ask the machine what to do. Did I say it too slowly? Don't ask the machine what to do. The machine's designed to tell you you're beautiful because it wants you to put the buck in its string bikini. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Okay, well, a dollar. All right, so no accidents.
Again, probably with inflation, I probably gave a bad example. But, yeah. You know, I'm no expert on the strip club scene.
All right, no accidents to report to you or delays. Not seeing anything that's going to slow you down on John Pickens with your traffic on the five. $38?
I don't know.
Plus
I
mean, tip. You forgot the tip.
38, 20, 26. You know, nobody has pennies anymore, 14, but you throw a quarter up there, you know, bounce it. Bing. On the stage. Good Lord. I don't even know. Can't explain it. But we lost John. He can't continue. But I do like the AI as stripper analogy. That I'm going to have to mull that one over a little bit more because I think that's more true than I think it is. Speaking of, if you're thinking about buying your next vehicle... Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars and only human salespeople. So you go there and you're going to talk to somebody, or you don't have to. I mean, if you don't want to, because I know, again, I always think, am I normal? Am I weird? When I go to buying a car, one of the things I don't want to meet, like, every salesperson that exists and tell them my life story and, oh, where are you from? You from here? Okay. You know, what are you trying to do with your life? I'm trying to just drive a car, man. Just go away. Let me drive the car. And then, you know, all of that. And then going to different places, you know, here's where we go for the Toyotas. Here's where we go for the, you know, the Chevys. Here we're go to one place, drive a bunch of cars in one place, get a bunch of prices in one place. It's all the bottom line price, out the door price. No, after that, you know, well, we're going to tack on the undercoating. You sure you don't want it? Anyway, at Frontier Motors, it's simple. It's a great resource. And if they have what you want at a good price, buy it. If they have what you want, but, you know, maybe you don't want to pay quite that much, I mean, make them an offer. Who knows? But also send them looking for one that's got, like, more miles or is a little bit older. They go looking for people for cars all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi, and don't bounce the quarter. Bing!
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
I'm Terry Village Shishati, former commanding officer of Naval Air Station Pensacola, and I wanted to personally invite you all to join us on May 8th for the second annual Pensacola Navy Days Golf Tournament presented by Astro Lincoln. It's going to be held on board Naval Air Station Pensacola at the historic A.C. Reed Golf Course. There's going to be some great giveaways, contests throughout the course, and we're going to finish up the day with an awesome award ceremony. So to find out more, go on PensacolaNavyDays.org and click on the events page. Come on out and support Pensacola Navy Days and our incredible military community.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. McKee Marine sponsoring the show. McKee Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians. They hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You're not looking for an argument. You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
What's the best way to go about disarming one of these things?
The way you don't die, sir.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now, you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
And now they have been put into the Hall of Fame, although not officially inducted yet. You know, the induction ceremony comes later, but they have been named as the new inductees. Oasis, of course, there. 6:52 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John's singing, and he wants me to keep playing the song, but I'm not going to because I got to go to David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Oh, well, good morning, gentlemen. California Democrat Congressman Eric Swalwell resigning from Congress. Of course, this is amid accusations of sexual assault. A former staffer claims Swalwell raped her twice, and three other women also say that he sexually harassed them. Swalwell, of course, denying those allegations, says he plans to fight them. Also leaving office is Republican Congressman Tony Gonzalez of Texas. He's faced pressure to step down since ending his reelection bid in March after admitting he had an affair with a staffer.
Eric Swalwell, all of these allegations about me are completely false, and I will prove it to you now that I'm leaving office as a result of these allegations and quitting my race for governor.
Yes.
That's exactly what innocent people do. Come on.
It does have that certain look about it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A Michigan man questioned in the disappearance of his wife in the Bahamas has now been released from custody with no charges. Brian Hooker told investigators his wife fell overboard in rough seas. Officials have not said whether he'll have to stay in the Bahamas or if he's free to leave the country. And the U.S. military blockade of Iran continues the Strait of Hormuz for a second day after the failed peace negotiations over the weekend. J.D. Vance led the delegations, and he said yesterday that Iran's closing of the waterway amounted to economic terrorism.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Oh, this is kind of a cool note. I saw this the other day. You know the CORE program that we've been talking about for years that Escambia County EMS established? This is the people who overdose once we've revived them, Narcan them or whatever, and we get them towards the hospital. Well, along the way, we basically say, hey, bro, you want to get out of this situation? You want to not have to deal with this anymore? And a lot of them say, no, I'm good. Just like how, you know, Sheriff Johnson explains it in the jail in Santa Rosa County. They have the drug. I forget the name of it, but it's the one that it makes you both not want the opioids and it also makes it so you don't get high off the opioids. It's kind of a both and. And they'll offer it to people and people would rather not have it because they're so attached to the thrill of the high. They'd rather continue, you know, they'd rather get out of jail and go get high again rather than be saved from this life-threatening problem. So in Escambia County, we started this thing called the CORE program, Coordinated Opioid Recovery Effort Program. And the idea was just basically ask them, hey, do you want to get out of this situation? And a lot of people will say no, okay? A lot of people will say no. But we were dealing with a problem of repeat customers, which was repeat cost. And if you can take people out of the demand side on, you know, ambulances, then you can free up ambulances to do other things and respond more rapidly to calls. And you have a system that has historically been stressed for a variety of reasons. And one of those is, you know, too many overdose calls. So if you can have fewer overdoses, you can simultaneously save lives, save money, de-stress the EMS system. I mean, it's all good. Well, they just passed 600 patients. 600 patients who have gone into this program. And it's very effective. It's got a very high rate of success. Joey Kerman, who was the supervisor of Escambia County EMS CORE program, he said, when we started CORE in Escambia County, we could not have envisioned the incredible impact it would have on so many lives. There was no roadmap, but our mission was clear from day one to help people find recovery and to empower them to become the heroes on their own stories. We asked people in their darkest moments to take a chance on us to believe that there was something more waiting for them beyond the pain. Over 600 patients said yes and placed their trust in us. In return, they've given us something far greater than we could have ever expected. They've given us purpose. They've given us hope. And they've inspired us every single day to keep going, to keep fighting, and to reach the next person who feels like they're beyond saving. Today, we don't just recognize the number. We celebrate lives changed. We celebrate courage. We celebrate resilience. I love it. This is, and you know, a lot of times, I'll finish this up in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents or delays to report to you. Everything looks good. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. And it's follow-up with personal attention. And, you know, it's not just, hey, here's this drug. You're all good. Like, it's an ongoing process to shepherd these people into a medical-based recovery, right? Using a very, very potent medicine to counteract both the desire and the efficacy for them of taking opioids. And what I love about this and what I've heard from, you know, kind of EMS and first responders is so much of the time in first responder life, whether it's fire or police, sheriffs, EMS, any of that, hospitals, so much of the time is it's all either negative or you kind of aftermath of the negative. You know, like if you're cops, okay? You know, you fail to prevent a crime or you catch a criminal or maybe fail to catch a criminal, but you see all kinds of bad things. You never really get wins per se. Same thing in EMS. I mean, you know, you're seeing people at their worst and you're maybe keeping them alive, maybe not. A lot of times people die. But this is genuine wins. Like, you're genuinely helping people. Think about how excited the sheriff gets when he talks about, like, the Blazer Academy or the annual giving at Christmas or any of these things where they can do something where they can really see the result positive in somebody's life and feel like they're, you know, they're not just, you know, putting out fires, but they're actually planting trees. That kind of a concept, you know, the whole, like if all you ever do is put out fires, you never plant trees, you're going to lose the forest anyway. I love the idea that this gives EMS folks a positive thing to fix the problem, to solve the thing that so much of the time is so discouraging, you know, because these folks show up to the same person overdosing once, twice, five, 10 times. And you say, well, why do they keep doing it? Because, and I'm speaking entirely on like third person knowledge. Like, this is what people tell me. Because the high is so potent, they know the fentanyl could kill them, but they want the high so bad that it's worth the risk. And plus they figure they'll get resuscitated on Narcan. So Narcan has a you know, has a moral hazard effect here. Moral hazard is what philosophers call the idea that when you make a risky behavior safer, you get more of the behavior, not less of it. Cars with seatbelts, people drive more recklessly because they know they have seatbelts. Cars with airbags drive more recklessly because they have airbags, right? If you put a safety net behind something that's dangerous, then you get more of the bad behavior. Premarital sex in a world without contraception, you know, is low prevalence or lower. But suddenly when you have contraception and you can, you know, have, you know, no babies and fewer diseases, or fewer babies and fewer diseases, oh, we get more sex, right? That's moral hazard, okay? Same thing here. When you believe that the paramedic will show up and resuscitate you, which they do most of the time, Narcan exists, cool, give me the fentanyl. That's the problem. I mean, the alternative is not great either, is, you know, don't come up with Narcan or don't make it available. Oh, good, so then just people die. Well, you know, yeah, but maybe fewer of them die because they don't believe there's a safety net. It's actually difficult to figure out what the right approach is. In all of that, Escambia County EMS Within Core program has actually found an answer that has gotten 600 people help. That's 600 lives in Escambia County. That's amazing. What a great story.